as the calendar flips from August to September, I'd like to welcome you back to football. We are just days away from the NFL kicking off. Week zero just took place in college. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to talk about upcoming college games in week one this coming Saturday. We got opt-outs. We got players opting out. We got injuries piling up. We got some crazy stuff in the NFL. Let's get to it.
Here's what we know.
By now, you've all known and heard that Leonard Fournette was released by the Jaguars the other day. And if you listened to my last podcast, it comes as no surprise to me. I wondered if he was going to get cut. I don't know what the deal is, but I promise you there was more to it than what they said was the issues being on the field. Because if it was just NFL on the field stuff only, you can go ahead and chalk him down as another first round bust in NFL drafts. I said it before, I'll say it again, I'll say it to anybody who wants to listen. I don't think he was the top back coming out in that draft class. There were several other guys. You know, it turns out Christian McCaffrey's number one, Dalvin Cook's number two. You can say Joe Mixon, you can say Leonard Fournette. There was a lot of good talent that came out of that draft class, along with Alvin Kamara. And to me, he fell behind Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook. And I said it then, I'll say it now, I just don't think he was as good as what everybody had projected him out to be. And, you know, it comes as no surprise that he's a free agent. It's a little weird timing-wise, but I'm not sure that that's even going to matter because he's cleared waivers, and there's rumors that he's, you know, in contract talks with teams, but that's all I've really heard. So it looks like the Bears, you know, aren't interested in him. They kind of turned him down, turned him away. So you can, you know, check them kind of off the list. And, you know, I'm not sure what we're going to see, you know, from Leonard Fournette this year. The one place I don't want to see him go is the Los Angeles Rams, because that would just completely blow any value that, you know, Cam Akers has. It's going to really, you know, take it and cut his production in half of what we might see. And, you know, I'm hoping that the Rams think that, you know, they've got enough, you know, with Akers and even Henderson when he gets healthy and Brown to, you know, to make a go of it, you know, with their running game. So I hope that's the case. I do not want to see him go there. A couple places that he could possibly end up, Miami. It's going to have to be a team that fits his running style. And, you know, I don't know what a lot of these teams run as far as schemes go, but, you know, he's more of a north and south kind of running back. And, you know, he's not going to be able to do a whole lot, you know, east and west and, you know, gadget plays and things like that. It's just not his game. So time will tell where Fournette ends up. But, you know, not surprised that he got cut. Timing, a little bit weird. Speaking of weird, I'm not sure what's going on in New Orleans. I really don't know. One day you see a report that the Saints are open to trading Alvin Kamara. And then you see that Alvin Kamara and his agent had requested a trade. Well, that doesn't mean, just because the Saints were open to trading him, doesn't mean that he was looking for a trade. So, but now, I've seen today, he returned to practice. So I don't know if this has just all been, you know, a misunderstanding. You know, it is a weird off season. You know, he is playing for a contract and stuff, so, you know, maybe he's doing kind of like what Dalvin Cook, Dak Prescott are doing, you know, betting on himself and going to play this year out, go crazy, and land a big deal. The thing that's different between Dalvin Cook, Dak Prescott, and Alvin Kamara is the quarterback position's got a longer shelf life. So this is it. I mean, if those two running backs, being Cook and Kamara, can land deals, then it's going to be it for them. They got to make their money now because there's not going to be anything left after that. Okay, we just seen a first-round draft pick get cut, okay, who was, you know, projected to do all kinds of craziness. Okay, we've seen Fournette be injured. We've seen Cook be injured. Kamara's been injured. You know, so this is going to be it. If these guys can land a deal, they better make the best of it, because this is all they're going to get. Teams just aren't willing to go that far into running backs, because in some people's view, a lot of people's view, they are, you know, replaceable after, you know, 5-6 seasons in. And, you know, it seems like just yesterday, you know, we was all down at the combine watching these guys work out, you know, at Lucas Oil Stadium. And now here you got, they're going into their fourth year, just like that. So, you know, maybe their NFL careers are half over. You know, if you get 8 years out of a running back, they're at the halfway point already. And that would be good, you know, if you get 8 years out of a running back that are solid, productive seasons. A little bit more news today. The Washington Redskins have named Dwayne Haskins starting quarterback. This really is no surprise. I would have loved to have seen the Cinderella story for Alex Smith, you know, play itself out and come back from that terrible injury, win his job back. That would have been awesome. But reality, you know, reared its ugly head, and he's probably just not ready yet. I mean, I think at this point in their careers, Alex Smith is probably the better quarterback, but you've also got an investment in Haskins, and you want to see if that plays itself out. You know, so will he be a good viable backup if something were to happen to Haskins? Absolutely. But, you know, it's going to be Haskins' show to start, and it really shouldn't have been too much of a surprise to anybody when he made that announcement. I spoke a little bit ago about the injuries that those running backs have sustained over the course of their NFL career, and injuries are piling up like crazy in the NFL. Like, there's no Eagles left again, and haven't even played a season. Their quarterback's walking around in street clothes. The running back's hurt. They just lost Jalen Reagor because he made a tackle after a quarterback threw an interception. They lost him for some weeks. Derwin James, meniscus issue, out for a while because those are pretty bad. 6 to 8 weeks or something like that probably. And takes a hit in your IDP leagues if you're anything like me and you grab a hold of Derwin James as one of your, you know, top defensive backs. Had to make some moves already because he's going to be out for a good bit. Seen the Patriots are releasing Mohamed Sanu. I think this is good news for N'Keal Harry. I think that means that they have enough faith in N'Keal Harry to place a little bit more responsibility on him now with Cam getting him the ball. So, you know, I kind of like that. Sanu's one of those guys that's kind of fizzled out, played himself out, and, you know, hopefully it bodes well and good news for N'Keal Harry. Onto the college world, Jamie Newman has opted out of this season at Georgia and is going to get ready for the 2021 draft. Obviously, it's a COVID-19 concern, and I totally respect that. I just don't know if you're this far along that it's fair to your team that you go ahead and opt out now. I mean, maybe he wasn't going to be the starter. Maybe that was part of it, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if JT Daniels was going to beat him out. I don't know. But it just seems to me like you're this far along, and I know the SEC's backed up their start to their season, you know, more towards the mid to late part of the month of September, but, you know, maybe something happened, you know, and he needed to opt out or whatever, but timing, once again, not great, you know, for a team, you know, in a COVID year that's trying to get all their ducks in a row and get ready for their first game, you know, 3 weeks from now. Now all of a sudden one of your quarterbacks decides to opt out. So that's pretty big news, you know, for Georgia. And that, I mean, it opens up the door, you know, for the other quarterbacks. JT Daniels may be the odds-on guy to be the starting quarterback there now, and with Newman out of the way. Week zero in the college football season tells us that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We are there. There is life possibly after the COVID-19 bullcrap. Austin Peay versus Central Arkansas. Was it a game that's going to go down in the annals of history as one of the best ever? No. Is it going to go down as one of the most important ever? Ah, maybe. Maybe, because that signifies that maybe we're moving past this and we're going to put COVID in the rear view here, you know, as days turn into months, and we can put this all behind us. It was a good game. The first play of the game, 74-yard touchdown run. Kicked the football season right in the mouth. Kicked us off good, and off and running we went. I didn't watch the whole thing. I fell asleep shortly after the start of the third quarter. But nevertheless, college football is back, and we've got some games this Saturday. We're going to talk about them. And I'll give you my college game of the week for college week one as we go along. We're going to start in the AAC, Arkansas State at Memphis. And this game features not only probably the best player in the AAC, but also one of the best players in the country with running back Kenneth Gainwell for the Memphis Tigers. Last year, 231 carries, 1,459 yards, 13 touchdowns, another 51 receptions, 600 yards in the passing game, and three more receiving touchdowns. This guy is a must-have in your Devy leagues. And if he's available, which I don't in any format figure he would to be available in any Devy league, but he is going to have a great season, and he's going to make those numbers pop. Now, different coaching staff there in Memphis. Mike Norvell off to FSU, of course. You know, in his place, one of the guys that was there. Okay, they promoted from within, gave the head coaching job to a guy that was already there. So some of the pieces are going to stay the same for Gainwell. It's going to be good to see him come out there in week one and get going. As I predict, Memphis will take care of Arkansas State and get off to a nice 1-0 start to the season. Game two on the docket, Saturday, SMU at Texas State. A couple of Texas teams going to fire it up. Another AAC team taking off with another elite player in college football, quarterback Shane Buechele. If you know his story about his history, started out at University of Texas, played a season or so, and then in came Shane Ellinger, Sam Ellinger, and Buechele leaves and transfers to SMU. To me, this is going to be another lopsided game, heavily in favor of the SMU Southern Methodist University. I think Buechele is going to be too much for Texas State. SMU will walk away with a win on that one. Last game on the docket and my college game of the week, Eastern Kentucky versus the Marshall Thundering Herd. Look, I'm not afraid to admit it that part of me is a Marshall fan. Okay, after knowing what they've gone through in their team's history with the horrific plane accident years and years ago, you know, you just can't help but root for this team. Okay, I was a big Chad Pennington fan, loved Randy Moss. He was at FSU, then he went to Marshall. You know, so I've always had a little bit of like to see those guys, you know, play good. I like to see Marshall good. Now, I am a West Virginia fan. I would take West Virginia over Marshall any day, but I got to admit, I like watching Marshall. Hopefully, I get a chance to watch some of this game. I wish it was later on in the day, but it's a 1 o'clock kick. All these games are on ESPN, I'm talking about. Get you some Pepsi and some Doritos and sour cream. Settle in and watch yourself some college football Saturday, because it's back. Now, the premier games aren't going to get fired up till the next week. The ACC will kick off the following week. And then, you know, later on down the line, the SEC. And I'm not even sure if I've even heard when the Big 12's taken off. So I'll have to check on that myself. But look, we got college football to watch. Eastern Kentucky at Marshall should be probably the most competitive game out of all three of them. There's a guy I want to talk about, and it breaks my heart in our College to Canton League that we're not playing the college portion this year. Because after I watched some film on Brendan Knox, running back for Marshall, watching what he could do, running, receiving, a little bit of an all-purpose back, you know, for the Thundering Herd, I was jacked when I was able to draft him in our College to Canton League. And I was super bummed when we postponed it. Not postponed it. We just straight canceled it this year. You know, and I was really looking forward to seeing what these guys from these smaller conferences could do in my, you know, surefire run to a first-year championship in the college league. I'm going to go ahead and just say that now. I can run my mouth a little bit because, well, we're not going to have the season. So I can just say, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda all day. But you know, I was really looking forward to watching this kid Knox from Marshall play. So, you know, he would be my player of the game to sit back and watch and see what he does. Like I said, I hope I get a chance to watch this game, but it's an early kick. There is going to be College game day. It's going to be a little bit of a different experience, I'm sure. It won't be interactive like it has been since, you know, its existence. But College game day is going to be on before the games kick off, so curious to see how that whole format rolls out as well. So, I mean, college football's back. Okay, we're going to take it in baby steps, and, you know, hopefully 3 or 4 weeks down the road, we've got our scope of what college football is going to be for the 2020 season. If for some reason you can't watch these games when they're on, looks like they're playing on ESPNU and ESPN2 directly after that, you know, on rebroadcast. So maybe I will get a chance to watch, you know, some of the Kentucky-Marshall game later on when it replays on one of the alternate stations under the ESPN multi-channels there on DirecTV. Not a sponsor. Last thing I want to talk about this evening is my ADP rant. Okay? You cannot let ADP handcuff you in your drafts. Now, we had a couple of drafts last weekend, and I found myself kind of wondering, you know, due to ADP, should I take a couple of players? And I say this, ADP stands for average draft position. That means average. Okay, that means there's a group of numbers they've punched in to get this average draft position. Okay, maybe you think Zeke Elliott should be the 101. Okay, maybe the guy beside you thinks Zeke should be the 107. Or the 201. Who knows? But don't let ADP cloud your judgment and make you feel that it's too early to grab someone if you really like that person. And I'm going to tell you an example. I had the 103 in the Hateful Hitman League, the flagship of the Hateful Hitman podcast. I had the 103. Scenario was set up. The 101 was a gigantic Bengals fan. The 102 was our dear friend Brian Wickham. I had the 103. All off season, the 101 would not trade his pick. I thought he's a big Bengals fan. Maybe he's taking Joe Burrow with the 101, even though this is just a one quarterback league. And if he does that, I automatically know that Brian Wickham would take either CEH or Jonathan Taylor, which would leave me in a pickle. I would have had to have taken the leftover between CEH and Jonathan Taylor over Cam Akers at the 103. Y'all know my love for Florida State. It's not a biased pick, but the way it played out was the 101 took CEH. Brian then took Jonathan Taylor, which kind of made my decision for me. I wondered, and I had even talked with some guys that are in the fantasy league, you know, if they had thought that the 103 was too early to take Cam Akers. I wasn't sure. With his ADP being, you know, down the line, you know, in dynasty leagues and way further down in redraft. But, you know, don't be afraid to grab your guy. Okay? And if you need to grab a guy, if you need to move up to get your guy and you think I'm going here to get him, go get your guy. Don't ever let that ADP hamstring you. I listen to podcasts day in and day out, and they're all saying ADP this, ADP that. And that's all well and good. I don't disapprove of ADP, but I also don't let it control where I draft people. Okay? Look at your team needs. Look at your picks. If you're in dynasty leagues, look a year ahead. If you're crazy and dumb like me, look 2 years ahead. And think, okay, I'm going to have to make this move now, and maybe this move comes out. It's chess, not checkers. Just like our good friend Ray GQ over there at Destination Debbie says. It's chess, not checkers. Okay? You've got to think moves ahead in order for this thing to be successful in dynasty leagues. Redraft, you squash it at the end of the season, you regroup, start over next year. That's the beauty of redraft. But if you're building dynasty, okay, look at it big picture. Look at it as, okay, I don't have a really deep bench at running back. In a COVID-19 year where I may be down two running backs due to bye weeks and another two due to COVID. Look at it as, maybe it is only a one quarterback league, but maybe I should carry a second, maybe even a third quarterback, just in case the waiver wire isn't as friendly as it normally is in regular seasons. Now, I'm not saying draft Antonio Gibson in the first or second round of your redraft leagues, but if Antonio Gibson's there in the second round of your dynasty leagues, you best believe you better get him. In a position that's so critical and so, you know, short shelf life, like we talked earlier with these big name running backs, get these guys. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to, especially in dynasty, if you can make a move in the second round or late first and grab a guy like Gibson, Zach Moss, who's gaining some steam, grab these guys. I missed out on both of those guys in the Hitmen draft last weekend. I wish I would have gotten Akers and come back and been able to get one more of them. They were both gone. Don't be afraid and don't be hamstrung by ADP. My Dak Prescott jersey has been an ultimate flop. To date, 7:20 p.m. on September 2nd, I have four people who have chimed in with an answer. Now, in order for me to give this thing away, I'd like to get at least 10 names. So get out there, tell people to check me out, check out my Twitter, find the question, find the answer, get registered. If you know a Cowboys fan or you got a little one, you want to dress up for Halloween, people can make fun of him by wearing Dak Prescott. Go that route. I want to get at least 10 names before I draw this. As of now, I got four. Now, I also got about four or five people who sent the wrong answer in. So, you know, there's people that have tried. Not near the success as I had for the Baker Mayfield. Maybe people just aren't that big on Dak. Maybe they're not big on it being a youth version. Whatever. But I'm going to let it go for a few more days. and see where it goes. And, you know, I'd like to get 10 names, you know, before I draw the name, at least, if not more. Last thing on the docket for the evening, it is a duel, people. It is the first ever Strassball Wickham duel for the Hateful Hitman podcast. We both picked our guy. We're both in their corner. We're going to let them slug it out head to head. And whoever wins gets to win the wager, a little bragging rights. And I'm going to tell you about that right now. We both grabbed a running back and we said, which running back is going to have the better season? He took Nick Chubb. I took Dalvin Cook. It's an interesting pairing because Nick Chubb, his head coach, was in Minnesota last year and did wonders with Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook now has, you know, another guy, former Broncos head coach there, you know, running the offense. While Nick Chubb has Stefanski. I took Dalvin Cook because I don't think he's going to be in quite the timeshare that Nick Chubb is going to be in with Kareem Hunt. Now, all of this hinges on injury. An injury does not default the little friendly wager we made. By the end of the season, whoever has the more rushing yards or the more total yards, it's one of those two, will be the winner. Not only of bragging rights, but I told you so, and ha ha ha, I was right, you was wrong. So, stay tuned throughout the season for updates on the first ever Hateful Hitman versus at BWIC 50 as we go head to head in a running back bet. And who runs the best throughout the season. That's going to do it for me. My name is Chris Strassball. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Hope you guys had a great week. About halfway through it. It's a beautiful evening here in Ohio. Football's on the horizon. College football this weekend. NFL the following weekend. Draft time. Good time to be alive, people. Stay safe. I'll see you next time on the Hitman Show.